This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Yeah. Well, it was, as everybody is knows and is excited about, it's the Pro Bowl week, and they have their festivities. Last night was the dodgeball game and skills competitions for quarterbacks. Derek Carr representing nobody because the Raiders have basically cut him without cutting him yet. And after he won the quarterback challenge, that was his interview. So he is on his way out of Vegas. So he's showing up. And you know the Rob Lowe picture that went viral a couple years ago where he was at an NFL game sitting in an end zone wearing just an NFL hat?
Yes, it was so good.
Derek Carr has been walking around Vegas for the Pro Bowl with an NFL hat and NFL shirt on. Because he's, you go back to, I think, week 17 it was when the Raiders basically said, you know what, we're not going to play him. They didn't even dress him for the final 2 weeks of the year because if he got injured, they'd have to pay him a lot of money. They want to try and trade him or cut him. And they're basically done with Derek Carr. Josh McDaniels, not a huge fan, the new head coach over the Raiders over this season. So all that just transpired. And then somehow he goes and he, you know, seems like a great guy. He's always been very heartfelt and emotional. And I think he's going to succeed in another environment. But to win that, and then that's the question he was asked, and poking fun at himself, that's why I'm going to be somewhere else next year.
All right. There you go.
It's an interesting situation because I was just reading. There's a contract trigger on February 15th for something like $40 million guaranteed. He has a no-trade clause, but he also hasn't been granted permission to go seek a trade. So it feels like everything's going to come to a head in 12 days. It has to. Otherwise, they'd be wasting their money, right? Yeah. He's going to go somewhere soon, I would imagine.
Now that we're on that that train here, you're a big NFL fan, Cowboys fan, but you like talking about this stuff. Brad Fritsch sitting in today, folks, and Brad's not just he doesn't just like his golf. He's a well-rounded sports aficionado. So Derek Carr, like how many veteran quarterbacks are we waiting on now? Like who's in play? Who's going to land where? Carr's one. Jimmy Garoppolo would be another. Aaron Rodgers is another, right? Those are three right off the top of my head. Like how much movement are we going to see this offseason with all these pieces moving? Brady retired, so we'll see what the Bucks do.
Yeah, and then there's Lamar Jackson who nobody has any idea how that's going to turn out. It just doesn't seem like...
Forgot about that one.
Yeah. There's a couple guys who need fifth year. Daniel Jones, not sure where he's going to end up. Mm-hmm. Probably with the Giants, but they didn't pick up his fifth year option. So there's a lot of... It could be a quarterback carousel, but Brady was the... I think he would have been the one that everyone was waiting on for something to start, right? So I'd imagine it's going to happen fairly soon. Yesterday in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, Aaron Rodgers said something like, you're not going to see me in San Francisco, so you can kind of throw that one out. He kind of made it clear that he wasn't going to go there, even though he's a Northern California guy. It's funny. Derek Carr, I don't love him as a player. I think he's fine. I think he's capable. I think he could get to the Super Bowl with a – you know, he's kind of in my Jimmy Garoppolo – Matt Ryan maybe at his peak type thing where he could have a great year and get to the Super Bowl, but to expect him to kind of year in, year out be the reason that you're going to win, I don't think that's him at all.
All right, so we'll see how it all plays out, but there is no offseason in the NFL. The news will continue to come fast and furious, and before you know it, we're going to be right into free agency, and we haven't even got to the Super Bowl yet, which is a week from Sunday. And we can get into that a little bit later on. But what I haven't done, I haven't gotten to many or any of your text messages that have come in. Now, we had Brady Tkachuk off the top of the show, and it's a big reason why we did not get to your texts. It was we had a special guest from South Florida, and a couple tidbits that Brady dropped on us. I asked him, I said, what are you doing for the All-Star Skills? He said, well, I already filmed mine, so... That's one of the, my words, one of the gimmicky ones, right, that they're doing. So Brady has filmed his already. It sounds like he's pretty happy with it. And he also said, but keep your eyes peeled. I might do something else with my brother tonight. If you're checking out the skills competition tonight, part of NHL All-Star Weekend. So if you missed that interview, Bunda's got it up on the website at tsn1200.ca. Then we eventually did get to the, well, really the big Senators news is the dismissal of their AHL coach, Troy Mann, late last night after the win over Rochester. Assistant David Bell taking over as head coach on an interim basis for the rest of the season. And some of your thoughts have come in on that. But we'll start with one that came in after the Brady interview. Gents at Team 1200. I'm a senior Sens fan. See, I believe you're right there, Don. And Don, love it, because that means you've been listening a long time. You could have said OSR 1200, then I would have been really impressed. I would say that Brady would, with his competitive nature, opt for stick it to the Habs fans, our barn, with that beauty goal from Stützle. But Brad is a pretty astute diplomat of the game, so he is quite capable of dodging the bait there. LOL. Don. We asked him a couple of questions, and he went, and then he's a very savvy interview. It happens to everybody, but Brady Tkachuk, he's good at everything, right? He's good at being a leader. He's a good on-ice hockey player, and he's very good with the fans, and he's very good with the media. I'd never expect Brady Tkachuk to step in it, if you know what I mean. He's good, Fritchie. Very good. He's a lot better than you were when I started interviewing you when you were younger, when you were playing. You know, you really came out of your shell over the years. A lot better than Brad Fritch, I'll just say that.
Well, I had no training, man. Come on. It's just me all alone by myself.
It was basically me and CJ just kept asking you and asking you and Kevin Hame. And then, you know, you got your reps in. And look at you now.
There you go. No, he's very good. And one thing, he doesn't, if you ask him to pick one, he'll just extol the virtues of both. I think that's what he does. He's not going to not throw someone under the bus, but he wants to be well-rounded, it sounds like. He wants to take responsibility for whoever he plays with. He wants to, like you said, he's a great leader. And, you know, the most that he's going to do to step in it are those, you know, late nights where he buys everyone shots at the bar. So that's, I mean, who's going to argue with that, right? I mean, young guy having fun. No, it's great to have him in the city. He's been everything that he was talked up to be and more. I mean, I remember the reaction when he was drafted, and don't need to go down that road again, but it turned out better than anyone could have expected, wanted. And he's a great representative for the team. And like you said, he's very comfortable in the media. You could just see him, right, relaxing on his balcony, looking at the beach, like he said, just lapping up All-Star Weekend, having fun. But yeah, he's great. And you know, we're all glad that he's around to, and you know what else he does? He takes everything on the chin for everyone else. He kind of takes that, you know, the heat after the Winnipeg game. You know, everyone was low, and he said it kind of the loudest and the clearest. Like, he was upset, and you could tell. And so he takes the bullets too. He doesn't just, you know, take the accolades.
All right, gonna rip through some text messages. Here's a bunch that have come in on the firing of Troy Mann. And spoiler alert: you're not happy, fans, and you're not happy with this move. As I'm just sifting through, I don't think I've seen anything that isn't on that side of the fence. So here they go. We'll get to a few of them here. Good morning. I was really hoping that the weird head scratching moves the Sens would be gone with Melnick. I guess that was naive of me to think so when Pierre is still in charge. Man's firing can't be about wins and losses and being an organizational philosophy. Otherwise, how do you justify DJ still being here? Comes from PK. Lucy writes, if they got rid of Troy Mann because of the losing record, why is DJ still with the big club? It's disgraceful how it was handled. Thank you, Troy, for your time and energy. You made the Sens organization better, which is not setting I can say for those who made those calls. Good luck. Spencer, probably another person challenged Dorian and his ego. This is probably another result of mismanagement. However, I agree with Brad on waiting to see exactly what happened. Troy Mann has not been dealt a good hand because of the injuries and the cursed seasons. Again, that one from Spencer. So there's many of them like that that have come in here. And just a quick one as we go to break here, back to Brady. Spencer wants to point out, Tkachuk is good, except when he did reveal the 2D logo details once on TSN 1200, LOL. Yeah, yeah, we weren't sure. We knew, we were told it was, there was going to be a change from the 3D. Remember, we thought, is it going to be going to the O, or is it going to be back to the 2D? And then Brady came on, and he didn't mean to, and he just kind of let it slip. And that was that. Good catch, Spencer. It's a good memory. Okay, we'll take a break. Plenty more still to get to. Gord Wilson's going to join us for his usual Friday hit. It's our Sens and NHL insider. Get Gord's thoughts here during the All-Star break and his thoughts on the coaching change in Belleville and a whole lot more. Sens are on a four-game winning streak, so they're hoping to keep that hot when they resume play a week from tomorrow when they play host to the Edmonton Oilers. We're back in a moment on In the Box at TSN 1200. That movie came out in 91. And that was like new technology. Hey? Remember one of these special effects? He's made of metal and it's like liquid. How are they doing this? Like,
right.
It was the same thing. Remember The Abyss came out like a year or two before? Or the Ed Harris movie where they're down on the ocean floor and they did it with the water, right? That kind of thing. It's like, whoa, man. And that's a little while ago here.
You ever play your old music for your kids and they just kind of look at you funny? Because it doesn't sound like Taylor Swift or whatever other garbage is permeating the musical landscape.
It's, actually, yeah. Yeah, you know what, though? I think maybe I started them early because both of them, especially my oldest, she was a very fussy baby. And longtime listeners could probably remember me talking about this in real time, where the only thing to get her settled, because... All right, sorry, I'm going back in time now, but here we go. You new parents out there, if somebody's saying, oh, it's just colic, there's no such thing. It's something. That kid's keeping you up all hours of the night. It's something. And for us, milk allergy from breastfeeding. Poor thing, had an upset stomach a lot and would not. Anyways, so I spent the one thing that I would get in the car, and I would drive to the 401 and back, Fritchie, just to get her to sleep and have some peace. Okay? And when I would do that, I'd play my music. And so now, as she's much older, she likes my music. She likes the old stuff. She even says, Dad, music used to be better, right? I said, yes!
That's good parenting right there, Steve. That's well done.
Yeah, and then I've got a classic one of now my youngest. She still likes some of the oats, but she does like more of the newer stuff, and she's kind of gravitated. But I've still got the video, and I'll put it out there once in a while. I'm at the Tim Hortons drive-thru near my house, and I've got Master of Puppets playing, and I look back in the rearview mirror, and she's in her car seat, and she's singing. She knows the words. Nice. And she's singing about heroin addiction. That's what the song's about. So, yeah, I'm a great parent. Yeah. Where were we? Oh, You Could Be Mine by Guns N' Roses because Bund is here. Ah, that's right. Okay, keep your thoughts coming in. A lot of people chiming in on the sudden firing of Troy Mann last night. Thoughts welcome, but they're a lot of the same stuff here. But Fritchie said, I hate giving you credit. You know I hate that, right? It's not what you and I are all about. We don't like each other and give each other credit. But I think we need to really, I do know, the only thing I'll say definitively, there's more to this. There has to be, because it doesn't make much sense. Now, what that's going to look like, we'll see. But your whole take from late last hour, probably the smartest thing here is to just kind of wait and see what else comes to pass here. Have not heard from Troy Mann yet at all. Will we hear from him? Will we hear his version of events? I don't know. But the reason why I think everybody is talking about it, like, not to be too callous about it, but hockey coaches lose their jobs. It happens. It goes into the news cycle. Like how we talked about Bruce Boudreau for a while. It's happened. We haven't talked about Bruce in a while because it's happened. You move on. Now, this just did happen, but this is just unusual. Like I said, when I read that tweet from Patrick Williams, who covers the AHL for AHL.com, he went back and he said, this has only happened twice in the last 13 years where a head coach in the AHL has been let go in season and it wasn't a promotion to the NHL. Twice. Now it's three times. This doesn't happen. This doesn't happen. So we'll see what else comes to pass here on that front. But in the meantime, continue to send your thoughts in on that. But there are other things that we'll be hitting on here on the show, including, yes, we're here at the All-Star break. We got All-Star weekend. We had Brady on the show earlier. He's already recorded his main part of the skills. And then he's going to reappear with something to do with his brother tonight. So look to that. And, of course, he got the 3-on-3 games coming up tomorrow. Some news from the Washington Capitals. I don't know if you saw this.
I did.
This is somebody that's really kind of, man, he was being healthy scratched and on the outs and at the start of the last season with the Chicago Blackhawks. There was talk that maybe the Senators should be interested when they lost Pinto and Colin White. Remember that talk? Now, Dylan Strome eventually landed in Washington, and he's fit into the point where he's landed a five-year extension with $5 million a year, Brad. It's funny how what a difference a year could make and a change of scenery can make for a player. Different place, better fit, and he's getting paid.
Yeah, it's great, too, because he was, what was he overall, like three or four?
Third, yeah.
And some, who did he play with again in junior?
Erie.
Yeah, Erie.
He played with Alex DeBrincat.
Right. And so a lot was made. Maybe he was, you know, leeching points off that, especially early in his career when he wasn't producing. But you're right. Fit, culture, and finally, you know, his talent kind of catches up with his age. And I like stories like that where guys are kind of crapped on for a long time, saying they were overdrafted and you know, not worth where they were drafted and all that. And, you know, how many years ago was that? Five, six, maybe. And now he's, you know, earned himself a five-year contract. I like stories like that where guys kind of come into their own, and it's not all linear, right? It doesn't have to be right away. It took him a while, figured it out. And now he's got 5 years with Washington, which is, it's cool. I like stories like that.
All right. So that's a five-year $25 million extension for Dylan Strome. Also, you see, we talked about it a bit yesterday. You know, TSN did a preseason ranking story, like top 25 players in the league, and then they revisited it yesterday with an article. And now they've officially started their trade bait board, which is out there as we are, what, 28 days away or so from the NHL trade deadline. We've seen one significant move recently. Of course, Bo Horvat is now a member of the New York Islanders. So the board is out, and they've gone through a top 25 on this trade bait board. And I can tell you, in TSN's top 25, there is nary an Ottawa Senator, because I think it's quite clear, Pierre Dorion. And we had him on the show when we did the show together a couple weeks ago. And now that they've won four straight, and it's still, the math is still not in their favor. We've talked about that. I'm not going to go over it. But it's great that they won four in a row, but they're not quite there that I think you justify doing something huge to help the team right now. You make a deal, you can do that, but it better be for somebody that's going to be here, for the assets you're going to have to part with. So there is a top 25. Number one on the list is from the San Jose Sharks, Timo Meier, who is an RFA to B. Cap hit is six, but he's making 10. So that's his qualifying offer. Like, we've had that discussion about Alex DeBrincat. Alex DeBrincat's cap hit is six and change, but his QO is going to be nine as an RFA at the end of this season. But with Meyer, his name's been linked to New Jersey. And now, Fritchie, people are wondering if his name could be linked to Vegas with the back surgery for former San Mark Stone. And that's now two back surgeries in less than a year. Had his first one in mid-May last year, and he's just had one the other day. Successful, indefinite. What does that mean? I don't know. Back surgery, we'll see how that plays out. Do you think that Vegas, I got my thoughts, and my answer is yes, because that's what they do. Do you think that Vegas will be aggressive to try to fill that hole, fill that void, and go out and use LTIR money because of Stone, and you go do something big, and you grab a Meyer, you grab something else?
They always have been aggressive, right? They're never shy to make a move right from coming into the league. So, yeah, I expect them to be aggressive. He's been linked to New Jersey. People down here love the idea of Timo Meyer in a Hurricanes jersey, and they have a bunch of space, too, because of the injury to Max Pacioretty. So I believe it's either $8.5 or $9 million available. So that's I don't think there's going to be a shortage of suitors. He doesn't fit here. No, I mean, he would fit anyway because he's a power forward and a rare one at that in the league. But they're really in line down here for a center. But to answer your question, I would expect Vegas to be in on that because, you know, they're having a decent season. And, yes, they have a ton of cap space now with LTIR if they use it. So, it just seems like kind of a no-brainer on their end, but I think there's going to be competition from a couple of other teams.
Why would Carolina? Okay, why is the wrong word? Would Carolina part with something significant, like a roster player, future asset, to make that kind of a move to bring in something big here? Because it just seems that's been the scuttlebutt out there. Yeah, of course they want to add. But what are you willing to do? Would they trade one of their goalies at this stage? If they've got three guys. Like they had this stat the other day when I did a pregame show. When Anderson picked up, went into double digits wins, that's three goalies with double digit wins in the same season. And not many teams have done that, period. And there's a lot of seasons still left. So they've got three guys capable of winning some games. Would they part with one of those guys as part of a package? But I don't know if it would have to be bigger than that, right? If you're going to be landing a big fish, like would they? There's no way they're trading a Nekas, right?
No, Nekas, no way. No,
that's not going to happen.
The name that's been thrown out by, would you do it? Would you give, like, quote unquote, give up on him? Is Seth Jarvis? That's kind of the, like, would he get it done plus a pick? But the opposite train of thought is people were doing that last year with Martin Natchez during the off season. Oh, where's he going? Are they going to dump him to Arizona? Are they going to do this? Are they going to do that? And look at the season he's having. He's come into his own. He's playing so well. He's got, I think, four overtime goals. Should have been an all-star, I think. He's really good, and he's finally kind of come out of his shell and been assertive in the last, first half of this year. But no, the name that's kind of been thrown out is a Seth Jarvis and a first round pick, something like that. But they just had that experience with Martin Natchez, a young player, kind of had a good rookie year, underachieving now. And now Natchez is 2 years at $3 million, I believe, here, and he's way outperforming his contract. So, it'd be hard to give up Seth Jarvis because he was great last year. But in my opinion, has never been the same since Jacob Trouba ran through him in the playoffs. Just hasn't been the same player. So I don't know. They've never been shy here either, but they make odd moves that people don't see. Or they don't foresee. They make moves where, they got Marlowe and a first, if you recall
that's Jarvis, that pick.
Right, exactly. They went and got Pacioretty for basically nothing. They got Burns for basically nothing last summer. So they make moves that aren't really talked about before they're made. So this would kind of fit or wouldn't fit the bill of what their typical course of business is. But he has been linked here. But them, New Jersey, Vegas, I could see all three doing it.
So the first round pick, that's the feeling amongst Canes fans and down your neck of the woods, it would be in play?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. There
would be a late one, obviously, right?
It would be a late one. They've got these two defensemen. One's in college, one's over in Russia. Scott Morrow, and last name is Nikishin, the Russian player, but I don't think he can come over for another 2 years, but he apparently is the real deal over there. But who knows how that's going to work out with what's going on. So those are often two talked about pieces as well that they could, but they don't exactly want to give up on those guys because the sense is that you can't keep all of Slavin, Pesci, and Brady Shea, who's been awesome, in the next couple of years. So decisions are going to have to be made on the blue line too.
All right. We started this. This wasn't a Carolina situation, but TSN has revealed a month out from the trade deadline today its first trade bait board. And Timo Meier's at the top of that, and Brad says that's a player that he can see the Hurricanes certainly having interest in. Jake Chychrun, by the way, is number two on the board. Patrick Kane is third. His hip injury, though, I think that's going to scare some teams off. The whole league seems to know he needs hip surgery. So I think if he gets dealt, and it's because he tells them that he'll go somewhere because he's got full no move, that's got conditional picks written all over it, doesn't it? A deal of that nature, it would your compensation would get better if he actually plays playoff games for you and how many he plays because of
who
knows?
If he plays, right. Yeah, no, that makes total sense because, yeah, it's obvious he's got a problem and they've said he needs surgery in the offseason, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's he might be number three and the most likely to move, but I just can't see him being with as, you know, under the weather that he is being the third best player on that list. Why don't you go down the list a little more and tell me a couple of other names?
Okay, I'm gonna start naming names and you just chime in when you feel you have something to say, okay? All right. So it's Meier, Chychrun, Patrick Kane, Ryan O'Reilly, Vladimir Tarasenko, Vladislav Gavrikov, Jonathan Toews. The Rangers' first-round pick is eighth.
okay.
Yeah. Ivan Barbashev of the Blues. Luke Shen, 10. Jake McCabe, 11. Joel Edmondson.
I like the Toews and O'Reilly, you know, the veteran centers, even though they're a little bit slowed down now. But that intangible of being there before, captaining teams to Stanley Cup championships, and filling a gap down the middle. I mean, I'll just go back to Carolina. Like, they would love a second-line center because
– So O'Reilly or Toews would be good fits there.
Yeah, I mean, not that they're not the ideal fit because of the lack of speed, but, I mean, Paul Stastny was playing second-line center for a while, and they just moved Kokkaniemi back. And he's not a great fit either. So it's just kind of you need a better player in that spot. So I think one of those two would be great for Carolina, I think. I like Gavrikov. I love watching him play. He's really good, I think. He'd be an interesting piece at the deadline, don't you think?
And I'm curious to see with him, is that going to be a situation where a team gets him and signs him? Right, would the Jackets allow a conversation ahead of time as well? Because we're still a month out, right? There's still a lot of twists and turns here. But when you start to look at defense, I think he's going to garner more than probably what his real value is, just because of what the market is. Right, and I'm not I like him too. I think he's a good player, and he's at the right age and all of that. But I think the Jackets will do well on that one. Let's put it that way.
The in-demand position.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Winger Sam Lafferty of the Hawks is 13th. Nick Bjugstad of Zona. There's a veteran center, right, that's not on the same you know, level as an O'Reilly or a Taves that way. But if teams are looking for a center in the next tier, maybe that's an option. I'll stop on this one because we've talked about it a bit this week on the show already. Gustav Nyquist, unfortunately, you know, he's an unrestricted free agent to be. He makes 5-5 on the cap hit. But now he's got a regular season-ending shoulder injury, so it appears, Fritchie. And he's going to be this year's version for when people complain about how the system works because there is no salary cap in the playoffs. So a team could do a soft deal to acquire a veteran, talented, skilled forward and not activate him until the playoffs. Now, we've seen this move before, not the same level of player, but involved the same team when Riley Nash was a member of the Blue Jackets a couple of years ago. And the Maple Leafs got creative, trying to add some depth to their roster with no cap space. And they sent a conditional six-round pick. And the condition was, is he going to play or not, right? And Nash was out with injury, and he was activated for the playoffs, and he played a couple of playoff games for the Leafs, and they gave over the six-round pick. So I wonder, like, Nyquist has more value than a Riley Nash. So if Nash was worth a six in that scenario, what's Nyquist worth? Conditional third? What are we talking about here? But that's going to be interesting. If the belief is he can be ready for the playoffs, they'll trade him still, and they'll get something for him, right? But that's going to be one of those CBA, make-it-work-for-you moves for a team that's up against the cap.
So they're going to Kucher off him until the very end and then come back. I get it. I get it.
Okay. Shane Goss is spare. He's hurt right now, but he'll be back for the playoffs. He's 16 on the list. John Klingberg, man, good for him. He made $7 million on the one-year deal. Yeah. But I wonder if he had his druthers, if he would have taken Dallas's best offer last year. Because he's had a terrible year on a terrible team. But he's there, right shot D, skilled guy, 30 years old. He's 17 on the list. Yeah.
I think that list, it's kind of like once you get past six or seven, it's kind of underwhelming, honestly. Except for that salary implication with Nyquist. That's definitely kind of a little wrinkle in there. But I've seen more impactful lists, haven't you, over the years? I think there have been numerous better trade deadline pieces, I would say, than those. Although those two really intrigue me. Jeff Chychrun kind of, that goes over my head because it's been so long. We talked about him ad nauseum, right?
You're old. You just went with his dad's first name. I do that.
Oh, Jacob Chychrun. My bad. Well, he would be an interesting ad. Yeah. No.
I'm sure Jeff could still throw him.
Yeah. We've talked about Jacob Chychrun for a long time in Ottawa. So that's kind of, old news. I'm talking about him forever, but you know, the two centers that we talked about, O'Reilly and Taves, those are neat acquisitions, potential acquisitions for teams just because of the experience, and they can still play, not up to their old standard, but they can still play. So those would be the two I'd kind of be watching.
Okay. And let me just speed this up because we've got to go to break. Next on the list is 18 this is TSN's trade bait board list, their first list of the season that went live today. You can check it out at tsn.ca. Karl Vemelchka, who's got a couple of years left on his deal, goaltender with the Yotes. He's 2.73 in his cap hit. So if somebody's looking to bring in a goalie for now and into the future, maybe he's in play. Then it's Matt Dumba. We've heard his name many times. Sean Monahan of the Habs. Jesse Puljujärvi, speaking of guys that we've heard for a long time. Max Domi, there's talk that the Hawks might sign him, though. JVR in Philadelphia. Brock Besser, and his agent's been given permission to try to find a trade for the last month or so. And last but not least, number 25 on the list, number one in your hearts, Brad Fritch, EK65, who's got the 4 years, 11.5 schmil left on his deal, having an outstanding season where he could be joining the 100-point club, the exclusive club in the history of the NHL. So interesting that he's even on the list because that's just such a tough deal to make in season. Anyways, there it is. There's your top 25. You can check it out for yourself at tsn.ca. And we'll take a break. A lot more to get to here today on the show, including a visit from Cord Wilson. As our Sens and NHL insiders in the box continues on TSN 1200.
Lucky Mobile presents Ways to Save This Winter. garbage bags?
The late news from last night, Troy Mann relieved of his duties as a head coach of the Belleville Senators, assistant coach David Bell taking over as we all await maybe some further information on that. But Pierre Dorion and Ryan Bonus in the release gave their thoughts. Yes, we've seen Claire Hanna offered some thoughts and some sources on her Twitter feed from TSN about maybe some of the reasoning behind the dismissal of Troy Mann. We'll get into that as well here on the show. We'll continue to get your thoughts on it all as well. At 1200, your standard text message rates apply. Other things here on this Friday, because now we're going to be heading into the second half of the show where Fritchie and I are going to be away. We've got to stay focused. Okay, Brad? All right? We can't be accused of mailing anything in.
Yeah, we're headed to greener pastures, aren't we? Not together, mind you.
No. So, yeah. So we'll start to sift through some other things here in the second half of the show, including what to expect tonight if you're going to be taking in the All-Star Skills festivities. That's tonight. We had Brady Tkachuk on the show already. Now, he has recorded his bit, but he did say he's going to be doing something with his brother. Look for that a little bit later on. Of course, the three-on-three games and the tournament format. I think this is the sixth year they've done it, right? Doesn't feel that long, does it, since they scrapped the old school, just the game? But here we are, how time flies. So we'll get into more of that here in the second half of the show. All right, reset time. We'll take that top hour break, mid-show break, back with plenty more still to come here today on this Friday, on this frigid Friday. Let me check it for you just to depress everybody here locally, make Brad feel better about himself where he is. The update. Oh, it warmed up a bit. It was minus 43. Now it's minus 42, Brad, with the wind chill. So we got that going for us here, which is nice.
You're it's laughing.
Good. It's good. Back in a moment on In the Box on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.